So then I think we have our minutes from the Pension Fund Committee on the 17th of May. Anything to say about those, Jo?
I think when the Pension Board papers were published, these were still draft because they hadn't been approved by the Pension Fund Committee. They were approved by the Pension Fund Committee on Friday last week. Mm-hmm. Just wanted to really to draw members' attention to discussions that we've already had, I think, in terms of the review, the committee delegating a review of employer compliance with the administration strategy to the Pension Board to look at, and we've got a report on the board agenda later on to look at that for the first time.
Yeah.
And part of that discussion will be around how we monitor compliance, how we communicate with the employers, how we support the administration team to sort that through. And then the recommendation to rebalance the investment portfolio, which was the subject of quite interesting debate at the Pension Fund Committee about who makes the decision and how that is advised. So as we advised at the Pension Fund Committee meeting, having discussed the rebalancing and the repayment potentially of loans to the council, Section 151 officer is of the opinion that it's not necessarily as important as the committee may have thought originally to repay those loans. I think part of the issue coming out of that was quite clearly the understanding of where decision making happens and where advice fits in.
Yeah.
So I think it's something, an education part for the committee that I think we've sorted. Okay. But what I would say is I will try to... I think we as a board and I as a support for both board and committee will try and get some balance between what the board does to support the committee and how the board and the committee interact with each other.
Yeah.
But in terms of investment, I think I hope the board was satisfied that the committee were advised and took advice and are going to make whatever decision they make based on that advice, really. So it's just to ensure that that's happening.
Yes.
I didn't read it.
Didn't you?
I thought that the committee decided to pay back some of that money. And the 106 officers said, no, that's not a payment idea. We do better by investment for, what was it, 7% instead of paying back.
Yeah, I think they discussed it, but they didn't actually come to a formal.
No.
The recommendation, as in the minutes, was. Including consideration of retaining a lump cash sum, which was delegated to the Section 151 officer. So we haven't reached a final decision yet.
I think at the previous meeting it was discussed and it was to go away and do some work on it and bring it back, which it was.
Which we're still doing,
On that, I've got, on that statement, there's advised that the fund is paying out more on benefits and receiving the contributions. I'm a bit concerned that the main topic of that is whether we should pay it back. I mean, isn't that in itself a statement of concern that we should be looking at trends and, you know, we should be looking at long-term trends, not just three-yearly, valuation, but looking long-term and getting the data that we need, whether I think we've discussed data before and not all the data is available.
Mm.
You know, we can't get it out of the system. I mean, is this something that we should just pay a consultant to come in to write reports? Because our IT, they're not going to have capacity in, you know, not the Sundays to write reports.
We, as part of the training evaluation process, we will be looking at, there is a process to look at cash flows and the benefit profile. So you've seen the sort of pump graph that shows how long our cash flow goes on through. Part of the outcome of the cash flow modelling within the valuation is a consideration of our income versus our expenditure in terms of contributions and benefits. And that also feeds into our investment strategy in terms of whether we are getting more income money and drawing it down and supporting the cash flow. So part of the results training that we will be having and the information we'll be getting from the actuaries over the next sort of 6 months or so will include some considerations of our cash flows and our trends and things
like
that.
So is that forecast, is that for the 3 years?
No, it's the longer term. But also linking into the review of our administration system, our existing admin software contract expires December 2020. So we are about to start looking at a specification for our new replacement system to be able to then go out to the national LGPS procurement frameworks, which are just about to launch an administration software framework. So part of the plan that we have with the admin team is to start thinking now about what our requirements are for data in and data out of this new system. Because we've been with, and I'm not saying we're gonna absolutely gonna change, but we've been with Altair for a number of years.
Yeah.
And
2014.
And before then as well.
Yeah, this year.
But we didn't necessarily do a very big procurement exercise last time. I think it was a case of we've got to replace it, we'll go with you again. But we've got a better opportunity now, I think, with the framework to be able to start thinking about what our data requirements are. I mean, going back in history, as you know, with our data improvement plan and our data issues and the valuation data, we've been in a much poorer position to actually understand what it is that we need and understand what we've got in our system. But as you'll see in the reports that we've got later, our data cleansing activities have been significantly improving.
I think it also helps that we've recruited to the team, because previously the team was so stretched that this sort of thing we couldn't really consider because there wasn't enough resource to do it. But now we've got resource.
We've got real time, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got real time to look at this stuff.
Sit back and think.
Yeah.
Forward plan.
Yeah.
Sit back and
think. That's what we're trying to do now, is
looking
forward.
Yeah.
We've hopefully rectified the historical stuff, and now it's
so
time
is,
to look
is there anything you can specifically think of now that you would definitely look for but you perhaps don't currently
well at the
have?
Moment we're just looking at iConnect, so
okay.
we're still looking at, but iConnect is part of the Hayward's company, and but that will be on our major focus would be to have a monthly data collection that we could input from payroll to the pensions team, which would then ensure that our data going forward is absolutely spot on, and our annual returns would be a month rather than a, because we're doing it monthly.
Yeah,
and as we talk about, our valuation would be just a little bit of an add-on to going on from there. So
and things like the member self-service portal and the member communications and workflow, as we were talking about earlier.
So I think there's a lack of data around the members or the deferred members, where they are, how many are accessing the portal. Because you could have 5,000 accessing it, but that represents 1,000 members.
But we don't know what they're accessing as well, so that's the other thing that we'd have to
do. So it's all the sort of things that we've been talking about getting our data and getting the information to you around KPIs and membership communications and all of that sort of stuff, that we can sit back and actually think, well, we need to put that into our specification. And we can start then getting the system that we need to get the results that we want, rather than having to try and fiddle the results out of the system we've got.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, because getting results out of the system is a bit clunky.
Yeah.
And unless you understand a bit of programming.
Okay.
It's quite
very user friendly.
I have to go to my cap in hand to some of my other pension manager colleagues to say, "How did you do this?" So yes, it's
okay. So something that's a bit easier to
something that we can work with.
Yeah.
So I think there's some real positives coming out of that then, and then it will help us all the way through. So
yeah.
In terms of the question being, are we concerned about our longer term cash flows? Yes, the answer is yes, we will be looking at valuation, and going forward we'll be looking at more data extraction from our better management system.
So when you look at your cash flows, and are you phasing it monthly? Will you be doing it on just a year's basis? How will you?
Can I defer to my pension fund and treasury management accounting colleague? Because she looks, she's done, she did the cash flow this morning.
It's done in various stages.
Okay.
We do a daily cash flow where we're looking for 3 months.
Okay.
We then on a quarterly basis, I tend to do a 3-year forward projection. I'm only looking at what's coming into our physical bank account.
Yeah.
And I know with Access, once we get all the sub-funds set up, the profile of cash coming in is going to change. And the problem is, at the moment, I have no idea what that's going to change to.
Okay.
At the moment, the only physical cash we receive, apart from contributions, is dividend income from our segregated funds, which is Magedi. The new fund, I think Newton's, that we've just gone into, that we should get a drawdown from that every 6 months.
Okay.
But again, until that starts, we get a bit further down the line, I'm not sure how that's going to run, and I'm not sure how the other sub funds are going to work and the timing. So it's a bit of a I tend to look at a worst case scenario more than anything else. So forward projections do not include dividends, because I don't know what they're going to be. So we're looking at contribution income and payments out, which we can normally project fairly well.
You should be able to.
We're working quite close together with the transfers in and out, aren't we? So you've got an idea of what's going out and what's coming, going to be coming in.
Transfers are the one big outflow that we just cannot predict, because a transfer out, a death grant, we have no idea. Volume and value, we just don't know.
But for transfers, we'll get a request a few weeks or months before it actually happens, so at least I can give Joe the heads up to say, we've had this request. Yeah. It might not go ahead, but you can factor in that this is going to go, this is the amount.
And some of them can be quite chunky. But they can. On the higher level, because the problem is, they say they're quite big, but they're what, 30,000-40,000, which it sounds a lot, but we're talking the value of the pension fund is substantially higher.
Yeah.
But on the cash, we are trying to minimise, and we're trying to reduce the borrowings as much as we can. At the end, I think they're costing us about 1%. Each of the loans that we have at the moment, so it's still relatively cheap.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Shall I chip in? Okay. As a board member, I'd be saying, what assurances have I got that all pensions will be paid as due? So, part of it is about the information flow you've just talked about, and you can add to that potentially lump sum payments.
We do.
And then what liquidity is there in the investments that will ensure the cash is there?
Yeah.
Because if pensions are paid one day late, or 1 month, it's a big breach, affects all the pensions. So gain the assurances about the flexibility, liquidity in the cash situation give you those assurances.
At the present point in time, the pension fund can approach the council for some capital to tide them over, and we do that sometimes at month end. But going looking forward, we're going to try and
You do have your separate pension bank accounts, don't you?
Yes, we have a separate account. Sorry.
What sort of increase is that for now?
At the moment it's not, because at the moment we have a reasonable amount of cash in the pension fund bank account, and I can't foresee us having to borrow anything from the council probably for the next 2 months, and then that will be triggered by the fact we have to repay a loan. So it's a 364 day loan, so that's coming up for renewal, so when that's, we'll need to re-borrow.
What will happen if suddenly the council says we can't loan anymore?
I'll turn myself off, because I'm wearing my council hat. I ensure that there is sufficient funds to meet the obligations for the council, and that includes any obligations that may come from the pension fund.
What about the other employers?
We do track, and again we'll come into this I think in terms of compliance when we're talking about the admin strategy. The council is by far obviously the biggest employer. I think the college is probably the next biggest in terms of cash flow. We are the world of pension fund investments is changing, as you know, with the access pool. Currently we pay quarterly management fees out of our bank account to our fund managers. As we go into the pool, those fees will be deducted from the change in market value, so there won't be an actual physical cash outflow. So our cash outflow, which is something like, in terms of management fees, is something like, I don't know, probably about £500,000 a quarter, should we say, across our fund managers, will not be happening, because that'll be in our investment values. So there's £500,000 per quarter that we won't have to be physically paying out of our bank account, which actually will make a difference to our need to have cash in the bank to make those payments. In terms of pension forecasting, we have a at the start of each year, we take our cash flow and we say, this is what happened last year. We know what the pensions increase is going to be. We'll roll that forward on a monthly basis to make sure that we have sufficient funds available to us to do that. If the council were to decide that it couldn't afford to lend us any more money, then the pension fund has the option to go out to the local authority market to say, could we borrow from another council that at market length and things like that. But what we're trying to do is also then make that consideration as to whether our investment strategy is correct. Should we be investing in more dividend producing income that we draw down on a regular basis to balance our cash flow that way?
Yeah.
Or do we want to look at disinvesting from our investment portfolio and drawing that money down as we stand? And Chris's view at the moment is, whilst the interest rates for borrowing from the council are so much lower than the return that the pension fund investments are doing, it actually makes sense to keep the 7% earning and borrow little bits of money. And again, we're not allowed to borrow £1 million, £100 million and invest it in the pension fund, but for operational purposes we can do that sort of short-term operational cash thing. But we will, I mean, as part of our business plan, and again, we've spoken about this before, but we will be looking at how we report to you about a budget that's been set, performance against budget, and we will include sort of cash flow forecasting and liquidity considerations in that going forward.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful, actually. Okay. So I think we're on to item